This is a special day. It's a special day because we come into your house to serve you. And Lord, we come into this house, Lord, because you said the steps of a righteous man is ordered. That means you guided us in here today. No matter how we got here, no matter for what reason we thought we were coming, you guided us in here. So, Father, I ask you to help me deliver your message, whether it's 5 minutes or whether it's 20 minutes, whether it's 25. Lord, let the message of the cross and of you come across today, Lord. And let our ears understand. In Jesus' name we pray. And everybody say, okay. Now, let's start off with this scripture right here. It's going to be a scripture that everybody knows, Matthew 7:13. And I just want to set this tone for just a second here, for the next few minutes. And it says this, "Enter ye in at the straight gate, for wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction, and many there be which go in there." Okay? Now, another version says, "Enter through the narrow gate, because wide is the gate and broad is the road that leads to destruction, and many will enter through it." Now, there are about 8 billion people in this world. And if the Bible says broad is the way to destruction, and narrow is the way to truth, and only few will find it, think about this. Boom. Boom. Okay? Broad. Narrow. There's about 8 billion people in the world. That's going to tell me, I'm not going any further than this right here because it's going to be opinion. But that will tell me right there that half of those people are not going to make it. Is that a fair statement? 8 billion people? So we're down to 4 billion now. I'm not going any further because I will be just guessing. But the Bible tells us how serious that doing the right thing and being on the right path is, and what it means. Okay? Now, let me take you to Galatians 5:22-23. Everybody knows this. I preached on this the last couple of times. The last time I preached on it, we talked about patience. And I said, raise your hand in the fruits of the Spirit what your weakness is. And just about everybody raised their hand when it came to patience as to being their weakness. Okay? But today we're going to talk about something different. And it says this. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, and faith. Meekness, self-control. Against such there is no law. Now let me tell y'all this before I start stepping on my toes. That means if I step on mine, it's going to be y'all's too. Okay? Let's talk about self-control. All right? Self-control, the ability to manage your actions, feelings, and emotions. Okay? An example would be, there's a cookie sitting there, a nice chocolate chip cookie that's sitting there on the plate, and you resist that chocolate chip cookie because it's bad for you. Now, how many of you has got that kind of self-control in here? You don't have to raise your hand because I know better. Okay? Lack of self-control can get us all in trouble. Amen? If a glutton becomes fat, it's because lack of self-control. If a drunkard, he is a drunkard because he is what he is because it's lack of self-control. Are y'all with me so far? I'm going deep now. Whoremongers, when they step across that line, when they come to that line and step across that line, they are who they are because lack of self-control. Y'all don't get quiet on me now. When a gossiper can't help but to gossip, that's because they don't have self-control. A thief has no self-control. And one thing, and I could go on and on, one thing they all have in common is that they are all living in the flesh and not living by the Spirit. Because if you're living by the Spirit, the fruits of the Spirit I just read, and one of those are self-control. And all those things right there is due to lack of self-control because we are walking in the flesh. You ask me, you say, Michael, now I'm fixing to get real, real personal here. You ask me, Michael, you think drinking is wrong? You think smoking? You think drugs? I have people all the time asking me, do I think all these things are wrong? Y'all want my answer? I'm glad y'all asked. Okay. I'm going to tell you my answer. It breaks my heart. I mean, it really breaks my heart when I see anybody, I don't care who it is, whatever it is, when I see somebody that has to have something, that breaks my heart. Can y'all get that through your head? Do y'all understand that statement? When I see somebody that has to have something, it breaks my heart. Am I calling it? I'm just telling you my answer. My answer is, maybe it's not the alcohol, maybe it's not drinking, maybe it's not the smoke. I'm not saying all those, I'm not getting into that. But I am saying my answer would be, if you have to have it, then something is wrong. What about kids today? Let me tell you what hurts me more than anything. Is when a child, I put my phone somewhere, when a child or children or people, but let's use teenagers, when they can't be away from this, when they can't function, and this is true. I'm not just telling this as a joke, but kids can't function.
Not sure I understand.
She said she didn't understand. Okay. When it is. But let me give you an example. I see kids today, they've done a study, and this man said the younger generation is taking jobs, it's working on computers, and they got their phone propped up right there, doing their work and watching their phone. Doing their work. There was a skit on Saturday Night Live. It was a long time ago, and I can't remember. I think it was the Coneheads, I'm not sure. But there was some kind of skit, and there was these twins, and they would always be together, okay? It wasn't that they were joined together, but they was just hooked together. And the skit was, every time somebody would pull them apart, they would go, and then they'd put them back together, and so it was ridiculous. And that's the way kids are and people are with their cell phones today. You can't get but one sentence out of some people, and then they're... And what's amazing to me is if you talk to somebody and they're fidgeting and they're trying to hurry and go see what... 5 minutes and to go see what their phone is. Okay, that breaks my heart. Because you don't know the power of what's going on. So an alcoholic, somebody that's hooked on food, anybody that's hooked on food, anybody that's hooked on anything, it breaks my heart. It's lack of self-control. Maybe you walked in here today and you have no self-control. When you see something, you don't think twice, bam! Lack of self-control. That's the fruit of the Spirit. That's not the opinion of Michael Shelton. That's what I just read you that the fruit of the Spirit was self-control. And if you have lack of self-control and claim to be a Christian, it doesn't line up with the Word because that means you're walking in the flesh and not in the Spirit. Amen? Going just a little bit deeper. Brantley, I'm through with this page. Make sure you pick that up. Y'all ready? I can wrap this thing up in the next 5-10 minutes, I promise. When's the last time that you've treated Sunday morning coming to church like you've treated your phone? What do you say to your phone when you go to the bathroom and do a number two? I gotta have it. What do you do when you leave your house and you left your phone? You say, I got to have it. What do you do when you just walk next door? I got to have it. When's the last time that you've treated coming to church that way and say, I've got to come and I got to have it? When is the last time that you've treated coming to church like you've treated a shot of whiskey? Oh, man. Oh, I jumped in it then, didn't I? When's the last time you've treated coming to church like you've treated your sleep aids? Am I getting deep or what? I'm walking on it. Because all these things that we've got around us and all these things that we say we got to have, but then we skip church to do what we want to do. Whew. I guess I ain't supposed to get an amen today. Amen. When's the last time that you've treated talking to God and reading and praying like you've treated a Saturday football game of your favorite team? You Monday through Friday say, I'm going to get everything done. I don't care what it is. And I'm going to have it all done. Don't bother me on Saturday because my favorite team comes on at 2 o'clock. And don't you bother me. When's the last time you've treated talking to God like that? We're all guilty now. Just because I deliver the message don't mean I'm perfect in these areas. But when's the last time that we've treated praying and say, I've got to read today. I've got to talk to God. I've got to get to the hem of His garment. I'm sick. I got people that are lost. But hold on, hold on, hold on. I got a ball game and I'll pray later. We have made a spectacle of everything but God. And now the world is suffering from it. And our kids are living in it. Now we're wondering what we should do. Now we're backtracking and saying, man, we should have done this. Maybe we should do that. Maybe it's time to change. Maybe it's time for all of us, my repeat, the man in the mirror, take a look at the man in the mirror every morning and see what he has become. Because it starts with that person right there. I'm almost done. Believe this or not. Do you want to know why we're where we're at? Because we're walking in the flesh. We're selfish and we're not listening to the Spirit. Galatians 5:24. This is what it says now. Listen to this. And they that are Christ's have crucified the flesh with affections and lust. Okay? Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. Let me tell y'all something. You show me a man that can't be swayed by anything, I'll show you a man that's prayed up, read up, goes to church, and he's anchored in the Word. But we got people that will go to the casino and go gambling and gamble their year's salary away and can't pay their bills, can't pay their car payment, they can't feed their children, they can't make their house payment because they're walking in the flesh. I know y'all seen it. Do you know what the Bible... Well, I'm getting ahead of myself. Let's go to James 1, verse 5. This is what it says. Now, I want y'all to pay attention to this scripture because this is good. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given to you. If you are lost today, if you are confused and you don't understand some things, if you lack the knowledge, the Bible tells us if you will ask God for the wisdom, He will show you and He will give it to you. You know, we talked about it Wednesday. The Bible says that the wave in the sea, and we'll take a boat that's floating on the sea, okay? And the anchors are not down. When the wind blows, what's going to happen to that boat? If the wind blows north, the boat's going where? No. It's going wherever the wind blows. Okay? Now, what if the anchors are down on that boat and the wind blows? What happens? It's going to stay. Now, if you're walking in the flesh today, you're like a ship in the sea that's being tossed to and fro without an anchor. But if you're walking in the Spirit, there's not many things, if any, can sway you because you know the Word of God and you're walking in the Spirit. I want you to ask yourself today, are you walking in the flesh or are you walking in the Spirit? James 1:6 says this, "But let him ask in faith, not wavering. For he that wavereth is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed." I just told you that. Now, it's easy doing the wrong thing, isn't it? You know why? Because it's nature. We're born not to do the right thing. We are born into sin. Now, why is it easy to do wrong? I'm glad y'all asked me that. I've done this example before, but it was for a different reason. Okay. Now, nobody get up. Everybody stay seated. This is the most beautiful sight you've ever seen in your life. This is the most beautiful sight you've ever seen in your life. Oh, yeah. Okay. Now, boy, isn't that beautiful? What I could do with that thing there. Okay. Now I got some prunes. Prunes. And I got some raisins. Okay. Now here's what I want to do. Let me look into the crowd for just a second. Kennedy, come here for a second. Precious, precious Kennedy. I got a question for you, Kennedy. Come on up here. Isn't she just absolutely beautiful? Look at her. Okay, come here, Kennedy. I just want you to show me something, okay? Don't grab yet, okay? Which one of these is your favorite? Snickers? You like Snickers? You sure? Okay. Now I got a question. I'm going to give you whatever you tell me. Would you rather have some prunes or would you rather have these Snickers? You sure? Just pick what you want. Okay. Okay, here, take all three of them and you can go back to your seat. Thank you. Give her a hand. Now, my friends, this candy right here represents the broad path to destruction. Because we all know that this chocolate, sugar, and all that nougat, ooh, and all that caramel, ooh, can cause rotten teeth, cancer, diabetes, the list goes on, obesity, on and on and on. But yet, we still go to that and pick it up with no problem. And these prunes, I can't see him right now. Where is he sitting at? Did Lowry leave? Okay. I can't tell you why. But anyway, these prunes are good for you, Scott. They make you regular. which I don't need. Okay, they make you regular. They're healthy for you. You pick these raisins up. They're good for you. They make me regular. And they're a lot better than this. But we could sit and leave this just like this. And we could not say a word. And people would walk by. And if you had 100 kids, I don't think 2 kids would grab anything over here. But they'd grab that candy, knowing how bad it is for us. Right? Just like the Bible says, broad is the way to destruction, and narrow is the path to righteousness, and only few are going to find it. Now, how would I walk the right path? You know what? You know that tastes better. You know that's good. You've ate it all your life, but you got to have self-control, walk it in the Spirit, prayed up, reading up, going to church, being close to God. You have got to have enough self-control to say, I can't eat that because of what it'll do to me, and go to what's right. That right there rots our insides, whether we know it or not, whether we care or not, it rots us. It's the same thing with sin. We enjoy sin, but it's rotting us. It's rotting our mind. It's rotting our souls, our hearts, our bodies, our flesh. It's killing us. But when we do the right thing, we enjoy the fruits of. When we don't backbite, when we don't talk about each other, when we don't overeat, when we don't drink, when we don't smoke, when we do all these things, when we have self-control, when we don't let things control us, we live a better life. And it's healthier. Amen? You know, a lot of people, you can look at it how you want. There are some people that live a long time, but they're sick every day of their life. And there are some people that live short lives, but they're healthy. They feel good. It's really a decision that you want to make in your life. Do you want to live healthy or do you want to live sickly? And the choices are simple when we talk about it, but doing it's another thing. And here's where I'm going to close right here. How do I become stronger? In Galatians 6:8, this is what it says. It's very simple. He that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The old saying, you're going to reap what you sow. If you reap to the flesh, if you sow to the flesh, you're going to reap destruction on your life. But if you sow to the Spirit, you're going to reap blessings in your life. Is it hard to do the right thing sometimes? When somebody's done you wrong? When somebody has made you sour towards them? Is it hard? Absolutely. But do you still have a choice? Yes, you do. Is it hard when your child's getting done wrong, or when your mother's getting done wrong, or when your wife, or when your close friends? It's never wrong to do the right thing. Last couple scriptures. Hebrews 12:2. How do we become stronger? I messed that one up. Can you put that up for me, Mr. Todd? I forgot to give you Hebrews 12:2. I got two more scriptures after this and we're closing. And this one is very simple. Hebrews 12:2 says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. So basically it says, if we keep our eyes on Jesus. Very simple. Peter stepped out on the boat and he started walking on the water to Jesus. But when did he sink? When he took his eyes off Jesus. Have you taken your eyes off Jesus today? Have you gotten caught up in the world? Have you letting things get you? The Bible also says, do not let sin master you. Don't let anything in this world master you. Instead, master it. Don't let anything make you to where you wake up every day and you have to have it. That means it's got you mastered. Master life. Don't let life master you. Last two verses here. Austin, would you come on up, please? As we get ready to do invitation here, the Bible tells us if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. And the last scripture I have this morning is Mark 4:19. I want y'all to listen closely as we close. And the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches and the lust of other things entering in, look at this next line, they choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. We, as a church, we've let the worries of this life rot us. We're letting the worries of this life choke out the word. The question I want to ask you this morning is, are you satisfied with your life? Because if you like the way your life is and just continue on, that's fine. Everything's okay. Nobody's going to bother you. God's not going to come and pick you up and do like this and try to make you do it. He's going to let you go right about your business. Are you satisfied with the way your life is? Or are you ready to make a change? Sin, walking in the flesh, will rot you from the inside out. And it will kill us. The wages of sin is death. Just like this candy, you know what it does to us over time. We can continue or we can make a change. So I'm asking this morning, let's stand on our feet. Austin's just going to play softly behind me. And I know there's somebody in here that's willing and that's ready to make a change. You feel the pull. You feel when the word was being read, you felt it when it was being taught, that the word is talking to me. Are you ready to walk the easy route today? Or are you going to be one of the ones with self-control and discipline? The one of the few that's going to find the life to salvation. Now, we'll say this as I'll just take a couple minutes of silence as I tell you this. The Bible says in Romans, it's impossible to please God without faith. If you haven't accepted Christ into your life by faith that He went to the cross, died for our sins, went to the grave, and rose again. If you haven't asked Him into your heart, then you're lost. There's no questions. That's what the Bible says. You're lost and undone. And the strict facts are, is if you walk out right now, or if you fall dead, you're not going into the narrow gate. That's a fact. Fact. It's what the Bible says. So if there's anybody in here that doesn't know Christ and you're ready to accept Him today, man, I'll be glad to lead you to that. If you want to come up front as He's playing, as people are praying, please don't hesitate and leave here without Christ. But now secondly, if you've been on that broad path and you've been walking in the flesh and you know it, the Bible just told us if we confess our sins, He'll forgive us. So I'm going to open the altars up because I know. I could, in my mind right now, I could walk to 5 people and say, come on. I know it. But I'm not going to beg. So I'm going to say a prayer. If that's you today, the altars are going to be open just for a few moments. I'm not going to rush you. I'm not going to push you. The pressure's not on you. But I'm going to give you a few moments to answer the calling of God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I've spoke your word. Father, we know how easy it is to go down the broad path. It's too easy. And Father, in the name of Jesus, I pray, I know that your Spirit's tugging on somebody's heart today. So Father, I pray right now that you begin to speak to them and start tugging on them right now. Convict them. We're going to make a change today, Father. It's by your word. So Father, I give this next few moments to you, Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. And as you keep your heads bowed and don't look around just for a few moments, you can pray to yourself at your seat. But if you want to come up to this altar, it's open. I'm going to open it for the next few moments. If the Lord was tugging at your heart, speaking to you, it's open right now.